Rise and shine.
It's a new day. It's early breakfast with Africa Milani.
Former President Jacob Zuma was seen on Friday at Sibaya Casino in Durban. He's out, as you know, on medical parole after serving a fraction of his 15-month sentence for defying a constitutional court order to appear before the State Capture Commission. His visit to the casino raising questions about his medical parole conditions. Professor Lucas Munting is the co-founder and project coordinator of the Africa Criminal Justice Reform at the Dalla Omar Institute at the University of the Western Cape. Lucas, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
We don't know what the specific conditions are to the former president when he was released on medical parole. But generally, if Africa Milani is incarcerated and I am sick enough to be regarded to be on my death bed, what conditions would be attached to my release?
Yeah, just a first qualifier. In terms of medical parole, you don't need to be terminally ill, but you could also be physically incapacitated as a result of an injury, disease, or illness to severely limit your daily activities or your self-care. So it's not necessarily a terminal condition. But be that as it may, the Act provides that the authority granting the medical parole, and that could be the National Commission or Parole Board or even the Minister, can set a range of conditions. And that could possibly include house arrest or restriction to a particular magisterial district. It may include prohibiting the person from using drugs and alcohol or associating with particular people, or not threatening certain people. So there's quite a wide range and a catch-all phrase of any other conditions that the National Commission or that authority may think are appropriate to impose.
The spokesperson for the Jacob Zuma Foundation, Zanele Manye, reminding us that he's not under house arrest, but rather granted medical parole. And the Department of Correctional Services spokesperson, Singabako Ngomalo, confirming that the former president had made a request to leave his residence to be in another town, and this was approved by his monitoring official. So at least he's ticked that box to be outside of his magisterial district should he be restricted, of course, as far as movement is concerned. You made reference to severe limitations. He was walking the floor at Sibaya Casino in Durban. This is a man who clearly has no severe limitations.
Yeah, I'm not a medical doctor, so it's difficult to make a call on that one. Doesn't know what the background is. So, yeah, I mean, that's a decision that was made, or the conditions were assessed by the Medical Parole and Review Board, and they didn't find the conditions serious enough. And we know this because the National Commissioner disclosed this, and he then took it upon himself to overrule that recommendation, which, in my view, is not provided for in the regulations to the Act. My reading of the regulations is that if the recommendation from the Medical Parole Board is negative, in other words, not recommending medical parole, then the process stops there.
And we know that a number of organizations and entities are actually taking that process on review and will be heard in courts in South Africa without a doubt. The former president has a right to privacy, right? As granted any other South African who we all obviously are governed by the Constitution. So there is absolutely that right to privacy. But given his level of interest, there should have been some consideration to releasing at least the conditions, if not necessarily the detail around why the commissioner felt it important for him to be released on medical parole, because the absence of any information then leads us to have no choice but to speculate.
Yeah, indeed. And I think it would be interesting to see how the relevant courts who will hear these applications interpret the issue, because it is about balancing that right to privacy, as you correctly state, but also it's about transparency and accountability, and that the decisions of the state must be just, and they must be perceived to be just, And I think that's important because it does, in the end, inform our opinions and views on how much or not we trust the state to make correct and just decisions.
What is confusing for us then, Lucas, is that you've got someone like the former police commissioner, Jackie Saleba, for example, who was granted medical parole because he, I think, had issues with his kidneys primarily. I remember seeing a very disturbing image of him walking from, I don't know, one place to another, and he was pulling essentially a contraption that would be allowing him to process the waste, that the kidneys were no longer able to function. And of course, we know that he went on to pass away not long after. That's the one extreme. The other extreme is that we've got Shabir Sheikh, who continues to probably play golf somewhere on the golf courses of KwaZulu-Natal. He's been on medical parole for more than 10 years now and incarcerated for a very long time. Yanus Wallace, who obviously was found guilty of murdering Chris Hani, who had been applying for medical parole time and time again, not been given a granted medical parole. There seems to be inconsistency in application of this, I don't know, criteria that need to be satisfied in order for medical parole to be granted to an inmate.
Yes, I think we must just be mindful that Shabir Sheikh was released prior to the amendment of the Correctional Services Act, around about 2012, if my memory serves me right. The act was changed to provide for the procedure that we currently have. Prior to that, it was really very open-ended. At least there is now a much tighter process. And I think very importantly, it makes a distinction between the medical decision, as I said earlier, the recommendation from the Medical Parole Board, and then the administration's decision, which would then look at the risk of reoffending and whether there are appropriate aftercare facilities. But still, it seems that the procedure is not immune from manipulation and political influencing. I think one is hard-pressed not to see it in that way.
Lucas, thank you very much indeed for your insights. Professor Lucas Manteng is the co-founder and project coordinator of the Africa Criminal Justice Reform at the Dalla Omar Institute at the University of the Western Cape.